Praise God. I believe that God is going to speak to us tonight. How many of you are looking forward to a word from God? Praise God. We believe that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's there in the midst. And I believe God wants to do business with us tonight. We're going to be in Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, beginning in verse 1. When you have it, say amen. Acts chapter 27 and verse 1, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Why don't you put your Bible down and lift up your hands to heaven and let's praise God for His word. God, we love You. We worship You. We thank You for this opportunity to once again delve into the word of God, to handle the precious things of God. I pray in the name of Jesus that You would, come on, pray with me. I pray in the name of Jesus that You would anoint this time together, God. Anoint my lips, anoint our ears to receive the word of God. And we'll magnify You for it, we'll glorify You for it, and we'll praise You. Why don't you give God one more hand clap of praise tonight before you're seated. God, we bless Your name. We magnify You, Jesus. We exalt You, for You alone are worthy, God. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of God tonight. I want to preach by the help of the Holy Ghost tonight on the subject, how to survive a storm. How to survive a storm. In this story, Paul is on a specific commission from God and will appear before Julius Caesar. But in the process of arriving to the destination that God was sending him to, he will encounter one of the most challenging seasons of his life. It doesn't take Paul long to realize that this trip will not be business as usual. You know it's bad when your storm has a name, and Paul's storm has a name. It's Euroclydon. And verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands and strike sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened to me. How many of you have ever heard in your life, I told you so? Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete. Dawson, you've never heard, I told you so, have you? Not about a storm. You should have not loosed from Crete. I told you this was going to happen. And you, to have gained this harm and loss, you're going to lose some things because you're about to go through a storm. And I gave you a heads up. I told you that this storm was coming. Now, it's one thing to go through a storm. It's another thing to know that the storm is coming and to do nothing about it. Ah, there's always somebody in your life saying, I told you so. And now, he said, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. I knew you were going to go into a storm, and I prayed for you. I got a word from God for you. I knew it was going to be bad in your life, and so let me go ahead and exhort you and tell you that you're not going to lose your life. Not one of you is going to die in this storm, but you are going to lose some things. I exhort you, you need to be encouraged, and you need to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. You're going to lose some valuable things in this storm. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must. Now, I want you to understand this juxtaposition for just a moment, because Paul, in one breath, is going to tell them, I told you so. Now, remember, Paul is also on the ship. Paul is the one who had this penetrating foreknowledge that a storm was coming. Paul knew they were driving into a storm, but Paul's on the ship too. Now that's an interesting complication in my mind. He said there was an angel that appeared to me, the God that I serve sent an angel, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So Paul knew a storm was coming, and Paul tried to get the sailors to go in a different direction. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, Paul was on the ship with the guys going into the storm. Now, there are some things that we know, and there are some things that we do not know. Paul knew there was going to be a storm, but Paul got on the ship anyhow. Paul knew that the ship was going in the general direction that he wanted to go. He also knew there was going to be a storm. And at the end of the day, Paul got on the ship with them. And now they're headed into a storm. And now these premonitions are coming to pass in his mind and in his heart. And the angel has to come to him and tell him, don't be afraid. I'm going to preserve all the life, but you're going to lose the ship. He said, it was God that told me that there's some purpose in this storm. He said it was God. Now, God, at the beginning of the journey, only told him a little bit. He only told him that there was going to be a storm. But now that he's in the middle of the conflict, God begins to tell him and to show him some things that he had not shown him before. Now, in the storm, Paul's getting some revelation that he didn't have before the storm. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. So God sends an angel to tell Paul, your desire to mitigate away all of the risk is offset by this fact, Paul said, I would have convinced you to go in a different direction because some insight that I had told me you're going into a storm. You see, it is human nature to try to mitigate away all of the risk in life. It is human nature to try to somehow explain away or to push back out of our life the components of our life that are risky and that are filled with winds that are contrary to us. Paul would have taken the ship in another direction in one moment with one piece of information. But as the story unfolds, God begins to reveal to him that you are on your way to a storm. And now, yes, you are in the beginning phases of a storm that has this cryptic name. But he said, I want you to understand something, Paul. This storm that I'm sending into your life, this ship that is in the middle of a sea that is tossed to and fro, there are some things that are going to happen with the ship that are the design of God. He said, what you didn't know when you started packing, I'm talking to somebody here tonight, that you started on a journey and you started packing your bags and you were putting things into your bag that you thought you would need on the trip, and you've gotten a little bit down the road and now you realize that the things that you packed in the bag were not what you needed for the storm. I heard it in prayer today while I was talking to God. I didn't pack for the storm. I'm preaching to somebody here tonight that you've said those words in the last days and weeks and months. When I put my bags together, I didn't pack my bags for a storm. When I started putting things in the vehicle, I didn't pack for a storm. God sent me here to tell you tonight that you didn't have all of the information on the front end, but God knew the way that you were going to be traveling, and God knew exactly what you would need for the storm, and God did not send you out into the storm without preparation. But God sent me here to give you a word tonight that he is with you in the storm. And the storm is not intended to destroy you, but the storm is intended to bring to pass some things in your life that God has designed. I know you didn't pack for a storm, but everything that you need is riding with you into the waves. We would mitigate away all of the risk, moms and dads with our babies. We would wrap them in bubble wrap and we would send them out into the world. We would protect them and we would get double and triple insurance, and we would have airbags coming out of every crevice in the car to make sure that any eventuality would be provided for. But that's not how God parents us. God does not parent us that way. God doesn't mitigate away all of the risk. God understands exactly what he's trying to produce in our lives, because God is not seeking to produce a fair weather Christian. God is seeking to produce somebody who can stand flat-footed in the middle of a storm and say, I don't care how bad the winds get. I don't care how bad the storm rages. I'm a child of God. I believe what the word. God is looking for somebody who can stand through any storm. God is looking for somebody who can be faithful in adversity. God is looking for a church who can stand through any circumstance, through any situation. God is sending you into a storm. Paul would have mitigated away all of the risk. He had no idea that his storm was going to be so ominous. 27, but when the 14th night was come and we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and they found it 15 fathoms.
Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast forth anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. As the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." I want to talk to this church tonight about how to survive a storm. Sometimes in the middle of a storm, you need to stop and throw a party. Why is it that you have to stop and eat in the middle of the storm? Because it is a reminder to us that no matter how bad my life is in this moment of time, God is in complete control of my life. I know it's COVID season, and I know there are a lot of people, a lot of prognosticators talking about the death toll and all of that stuff. And I know that you might be reeling in this season, and you may be trying to figure out what's happening, and you may be trying to mitigate all of the losses and pull everybody in close. But in this season of time, it is not a time to just to count your losses. It's not a time just to play it safe. But in the middle of this season of time, it's time to throw a party. I'm telling you, it's time for the church to throw a party. It's time for the church to kill the fatted calf. It's time for the church to say, no matter what's happening in the world around me, my God is in control and my God does not sleep. I know other people are sleeping. Maybe the politicians are taking a nap. Maybe the gods of this world are asleep, but God does not sleep and He does not slumber. There's a point in the middle of your storm where you have to encourage yourself in the Lord, where you have to look at your faith, yourself in the mirror and say, "Let me tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to have a feast. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to rejoice. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to take a bath and comb the hair and take off the ashes and sackcloth, and we're going to put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." I want to tell somebody here today that's in a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to go into a storm, you need to remember your God in your day of adversity. You need to remember your God in your difficult season. And you need to make up in your mind, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continue." Somebody do that right now. Somebody magnify the Lord. God, we worship you. We magnify you, Jesus. People are always looking for an escape route. They're always looking for a path to take. They're always looking for a detour. It is humanity. It is the nature of flesh that is looking for a boat to take us off the ship and out of the storm. But Paul says something in this situation that everybody in this generation needs to remember. It's always safer in the boat with the kingdom of God and the word of God than it is going out and taking a detour. There are young people who think today you need to find a detour. You need to find an easier path. But Paul says it's in the ship that you're going to be saved. It's where the word of God is that you're going to find safety. It's where the angel is appearing to the man of God that you're going to find help. Don't take a detour. Embrace the storm. Embrace the fact that God is in control. And be willing to eat and to drink and to celebrate in the middle of your storm. Everybody's up in arms today about the debates, wondering who's going to be elected. This opinion, that opinion, everybody torn about what the answer is. But God holds the election in His hands. He holds the economy in His hands. He holds your family in His hands. He is the possessor of your peace. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. For ye fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. He's saying this animal is sold for a farthing. It is cheap. It is easy to be acquired. But not one sparrow falls to the ground without God's consent. He said, but your hairs, the hair on your head, it is numbered by God. So don't be afraid, because you are of more value than many sparrows. David said it like this in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sometimes in the middle of your storm, you need to stop and consider what the Word of God says. It may be that you eat on the reheats of yesterday's barbecue, as we did in this recent storm. It may be that the neighbor brings some reheats from another past victory or past success, and you eat on something that someone else contributes, but stop and throw a party. That's what Paul does when the angel reminds him that God has this. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. They got excited in the middle of the storm. Their countenance was lifted up, and they also took meat and were all in the ship, 200, 316 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lighted the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was dry, they knew not the land, but discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward the shore. And falling into a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the foreparts struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder parts were broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim would cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of a ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. There are a lot of things in life that if we could, we would avoid them. Seasons of our life that if we had our way, if we could see the big picture, omniscient perspective of God, we would go around them. We would avoid them. But there are some things in life you can't go around. There are some situations in life that you can't go over or under, but you have to go through. You see, people who have never been through the storm don't understand the dynamics of a storm. People tend to think a storm happens in a moment, but actually, a storm happens in stages. I know this from experience. I've experienced recently a storm. There is a pre-storm. Anybody ever been through a pre-storm? There's the storm that happens before the storm. And then there's the storm, and then there is the post-storm. There's the storm that happens before the storm happens. There's the storm, and then there's the post-storm. If anybody's ever been in an argument with your wife, you understand this very well. You
You see, when you're leaving home, she's not here. She's watching from afar. She's quarantined. Praise God, I'm in trouble. When you're leaving home, you don't know you're going into a storm. You get in the car and you load everybody up, and your trip is planned out. Now, I don't know about you, but before I go on a trip, I pray. Anybody pray before you go on a trip? God, lead me and guide me. Let this be productive. I even named my trip this year. We went on a trip and I named it. I gave it a cute name. I called it a vacation. Anybody ever named a trip? Yeah, I called it a vacation. I gave it a cute name. And I prayed before I went on my trip. I said, God, let this be a good week. Let it be productive. Let it be beneficial for me and my family, God. Let this trip be a good trip. And I gave it a good name. And I had all kinds of expectation about what I thought the trip was going to produce. Yeah, it's a vacation. And so I got in the car, and I planned accordingly for days. We planned. We put the plan. How many of you recently went on a trip and you made a plan? You made a plan. You put stuff in the car you thought that you would need for the trip. I put all kinds of stuff in my car that I thought I would need for the trip. I mean, I put beach toys in my car that I thought I would need for the trip. I mean, we had flip-flops. Flip-flops are what you take on a vacation. Flip-flops are not what you take into a storm. But see, I had my trip all planned out the way that I thought the trip was going to go. You know what you think the trip's going to be. There are people here tonight, you planned your life out a certain way. You had an idea and an expectation about how things were going to unfold in your life. You bought a house that would accommodate your plans. You married a spouse that would accommodate your plans. When those babies were born, they were beautiful. Well, babies really aren't beautiful when they're born. They're not. I'm sorry. I know people say they are, but babies are like little aliens when they're born. They grow into their beauty. I'm sorry. That's my opinion. They're ugly. Babies, when they are born, their heads are misshapen. They're not looking in the right direction many times. There's all kind of weird stuff happening. It's the truth. I'm sorry. All y'all saying it was so cute, it's just a lie. But you set it all in motion. You had those cute little kids, and you set your life in motion because you had a plan. How many of you had a plan when you started your life, when you started putting it all? How many of you, your life is going according to your plan? You are headed to the beach. You're going on vacation. And then you have no idea that a convergence is happening. I mean, you gas the car up. You load the boat up. You do not need fishing poles in a storm. I brought the fishing poles. I brought the tackle. I put the ice chest, and I had all kind of goodies in the ice. These are things you need for a vacation. I thought I was going on a vacation, but I really wasn't going on a vacation. I had it planned out, and you say, well, you should have prayed a little more. Well, guess what? God doesn't give you all of the details in advance. There are people here tonight that if God would have told you you were going to go through what you went through, you would have checked out a long time ago. But I'm here to tell you, don't let
the devil lie to you and tell you that because you went through what you went through, that God doesn't love you. Don't let the devil convince you that because you went through what you went through, God's not for you. God's not with you. I'm telling you, God knew where you were headed before you started going in that direction. Paul said, I would have convinced you to go in another direction, but I didn't know that God was sending me someplace. The wind was taking me somewhere. I told you so, mariners. But by the way, I'm glad you took the path you took. You see, while we were leaving Birmingham, there was something moving in the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, they were calling it, it was just a little small storm. They were calling it a tropical storm. The devil is a lie. Yeah, it's going to head to New Orleans. The devil is a lie. There was a convergence happening in my world. I mean, if you could have seen it from a distance, you would have seen a storm over here in the Gulf, and you would have seen a cute little caravan leaving Birmingham, and you, oh, look how, oh my God. A vacation. Planning it how we think it's going to go. I mean, floats and luggage and sunscreen and flip-flops and a snorkel. Arguing about some meaningless thing about, like, where are we going to eat lunch today? Not knowing that the number of hot meals we were going to eat on this trip was going to be very limited, and it was very important where we ate lunch that day. I don't care. Where do you want to go? I don't care. Where do you want to go? No, it's a big deal. We need to go ahead and find a good place to eat. We didn't know it was that important because I didn't know we were going into a storm. I'm talking about a pre-storm, a storm, and a post-storm. We were on our way. You see, if it was just the storm, there were a lot of people that would say, you know what, I can handle that. But it's all the stuff around the storm that compounds. There's the evacuation to higher ground in a hotel 45 minutes away. There's the days before sitting in a hotel waiting on the storm to come. And then the storm decides to go slower and slower. I'm sorry, more slowly and more slowly the closer that it gets. So we leave, we go and stay in a house. And then as we're staying in a house, we realize we have to go to a safer place. And so we go 45 minutes away to a hotel. And now we've booked the room for what we thought was 3 nights, but it was only 2 nights. And so we thought the first night we were going to, the storm was going to pass, and we were going to go back and continue our vacation. But little did we know the storm was going to go into grandma's speed for the next couple of days. And we were going to sit in a hotel talking back and forth on a cell phone, texting. Well, what do we do? Do we go here? Do we go there? Some people went to Montgomery. We stayed in Foley. We were waiting on the storm to come. There's this pre-storm storm that happens, and it is so frustrating sometimes, because sometimes you get into a season of your life where you're trying to figure out, you anticipate something's coming, but you don't know where it's coming from. I'm telling you, there are moms and dads that they're dealing with kids, and they see the dark clouds of a storm brewing. And sometimes the pre-storm can set you off to the degree that when the storm comes, you're not prepared for it. I'm telling you, there's a pre-storm sitting in a hotel and arguing, debating, what should we do? And listening to this prognosticator and that prognosticator trying to tell us where it's going to go and how quickly it's going to get there. And so sit in a hotel Monday and Tuesday. And then all of a sudden, the storm's getting closer and closer. Different priorities, and everybody has a different idea about what we're supposed to do. In the back of my mind is, I brought $600 worth of groceries and a boat to this house on Fort Morgan that's in the middle of a peninsula that we've just abandoned. And if I walk away from it and the storm blows it away, then I've lost all of those possessions. And so everybody's got different priorities, and those things are running through the back of your mind, and you feel responsible. And everybody's trying to figure out. We know a storm's coming, but so far we have missed terribly about how the storm is going to get to us and how quickly it's going to arrive. There is the continual change, of course, where it's going to hit New Orleans, and it's going to hit the mouth of the Mississippi, and then it's going to hit somewhere on the Mississippi coast. And the slower it is, the more likely it looks like it's moving in our direction. A storm is coming. This is the pre-storm storm. So do we stay and do we go? And now it's coming directly for Gulf Shores. And we see it coming. And then there's the relocating three times to find a better location storm. And if you've ever been in a situation like this, especially if you're a husband, you know what kind of storm that is. Unpacking and packing and unpacking and packing. The tiring nature of watching a storm come in your direction and knowing, man, there's something happening in my life right now that is bigger than I am. I can't quite wrap my mind around it. And there's getting kicked out of your hotel because you thought your reservations were for 3 days storm. And you find out at 11:45 or 11:30, you've got to get out of your hotel and you've got to find another place to stay. There's that storm too. You thought it was through Wednesday night, and it's not. It's through Tuesday night, and it's time to get out, and you've got to get out in a mad rush. So now you've changed your plans. All your plans are changed. I'm telling you about the pre-storm storm. And then there's getting the phone call from the friend who says, "Will you go and check on my boat?" There's that storm. At this point, the wind's starting to blow, the rain's starting to fall. It feels like, if you've never been in a hurricane, the hurricane is getting close. And now you've decided to leave to go back to Birmingham, and you get that phone call from a friend who says, "Listen, and it's too complicated to get into, but we went to check on the boat." And you can imagine how the conversation's going with both immediate family, extended family, the whole business. So we go to check on the boat. And as an extension of that idea, then there's driving the car into the pond. And if we had brought the car snorkel, that would have been a good idea. But Brother Sam, sometimes you just don't know that you're driving into a storm. You don't pack like you're driving into a storm. You don't prepare like you're driving into a storm. And for all of those very, very, very intelligent people on social media that want to criticize somebody, what in the world was he doing? What was he thinking driving into the water? Until you were in the situation we were in, don't be too quick to criticize. I was singing "Drive into the River, Bob." And then there's the "My car is totaled" storm. This is before the storm. Now, listen, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what an idiot. And I'm saying, be careful. Be careful. Because the best way to understand a person's perspective is to stand for a moment in their shoes. To try to understand where they're coming from. I'm talking about a storm. And this whole time, I'm praying. I am. I'm talking to God. And I hear from God. God talks to me. Talks to all of us. I'm hearing from God. I'm not getting any feeling to leave. I'm actually hearing, go and check on your friend's boat. It seems like a good idea. Then the car's totaled. And then there's the, even if I wanted to leave now, storm, I couldn't leave now, storm, because the car's in the pond. And the storm hasn't arrived yet. And everybody from the local fisherman to the weatherman to every family member that I ever knew, that most of whom never call. But all of a sudden, they want to give you advice about what you should be doing and how you should navigate the situation. It was that storm. The opinions, the phone calls. And then there's a point where you realize that there's more happening here than I realize. And then you know there is the moment where it settles on you. I'm about to go through a storm. All of this that just happened is preparatory. Everything that just happened leading up to this point was just getting me ready for an actual storm. Now, you got to understand, I packed in prayer. I prepared in prayer. Brother Terrell, life doesn't work out the way that we plan. Life works out the way that God plans. And we do our best to plan for the eventualities in our life. But there are some times, whether it's a storm that you've created, or whether it's a storm that God is allowing you to go through, or whether it's a storm that your enemy is bringing against you. Everybody at some point is going to face a moment in their life where they hear the sound of the wind, and they see the falling of the rain, and they hear the prognostication, and they realize for the first time it settles on you and it dawns on you, I am about to go through a storm. Problem is many times when the storm actually comes, you are so exhausted, and you're so tired, and you're so just wiped out from the pre-storm. It's a whole season, and when it finally hits, you're exhausted from the preparation, from the anticipation of what might be. And all of the possibilities have passed through your mind, and you're preparing for the worst, and you're hoping and praying for the best. And then finally, for 10 to 12 hours, the wind is relentless. And the whole house shakes with the gale force winds. And you pray and you sleep in snatches. And then finally the power flickers and goes out. And you hold up flashlights and you light candles. And you encourage your family. And you hold on to your sanity, to your wits, to your faith. And then they tell you it's going to get worse. And you think, how could it get any worse than this? And then it does. But you know it can't last forever. What is the worst thing? You ask yourself questions like, what is the worst thing that can happen to me? I might not make it. You say things like, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And then finally a stillness comes. A quiet descends upon you. And you begin to realize that the storm is over. And you open the door and you peek outside. And trees are falling over and power lines are down and roads are impassable. And now that you realize that there's another storm just starting, there's the cleanup and there's the evacuation and then there's traffic and then there are gas stations that are out of commission for around 50 to 75 miles. And then you pass people in traffic that are pulling guns out of their car and shooting at each other in frustration because everybody's right on the edge. And there are floodwaters and people are stranded. And then you get call from friends and they say, help, we're stranded. We need somebody to come and rescue us. And then you try to recover lost things and then you clean up. And then on the way home, Brother Sam, you can come. Some funeral music. And then on the way home, you finally get some gas. And then you finally feel that release that, okay, I have enough gas to get me further down the road. And you're driving toward your wife's favorite restaurant. And you're starting to feel like I'm out of town. The storm is behind me. And then you hear a loud noise. And the tire on your boat has blown. And you have possessions for five families in the back of your car. And filling the boat. And if you had a jack, there would be no way to get to it without unloading half of a Sam's store on the side of the interstate with a 5-foot margin. That doesn't seem wise or prudent. So you get the right tire that is blown over onto the grass, and you drive slowly down the interstate for 2 miles until you find an exit. And you would think at this point that it would be a brightly lit exit with a gas station with 10 pumps and fresh coffee. But no. It is the longest stretch of highway from Mobile to Montgomery where there's nothing but farmland. So you get off the exit and you find the one house that you can see. And you realize that the house has probably 10 to 15 broken lawnmowers, motorcycles in the front of the house. You knock on the door. No one comes to the door. And then you see a lady driving over in your direction. And you flag her down and you do something you've never really done before because you've never really been here. You say, I need help. And she says, you knock on that door? And you say, I did. She pulls up in the front yard. She lays on the horn. Boy, come out here, help these people. And out from behind the house, what I can assume nothing but was a drug deal going down. And I hear behind me the sound of the locks engaged in my Sequoia. My wife has abandoned me completely. I heard it. I couldn't hear her voice, but I heard it in my imagination. You're on your own now. And you talk faster than you've ever talked. Hi, how are you doing? My name's Stephen. I did my best Lindsay impersonation. Trying to get out of trouble. Yeah, I'm a preacher in Birmingham. This is my dad's boat. I have nothing. I have no possessions to my name. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And the guy just, his eyes just glazed over and he started changing the tire. There's the post-storm storm. And there was a point in all of this. There is a point in all of this where maybe not literally, but figuratively, you just take off your shoes and you stick your feet down in the water. This is crazy. We finally got to the restaurant in Montgomery. We sat down. And it felt so wonderful. And we ate a hot meal. And we laughed and talked about what we had encountered. And then we got up to leave. We stepped out the front door. And the lights went out in the restaurant. And we looked at each other and we said, it's finally behind us. I'm talking tonight about how to survive a storm. Sometimes when it finally breaks for you, is not in the pre-storm, not in the storm, but it's in the post-storm. Where, and I'm telling you, I'm talking to people tonight that you have asked God the question, God, after everything I've done, I've been faithful.
And I asked you, God, if this was a good idea. And I planned my whole life around living for you and building your kingdom. And you let me go into a storm. You let me pack my car. These mariners had packed the boat. And by the time the storm was over, all of those possessions that they had stacked on the inside of that ship to take care of them along life's journey, they were throwing them overboard. There's some people here tonight, you say, God, you let me pack the car. You let me furnish the house. You let me make big brags about how it was going to go. And now I'm throwing stuff overboard. I made these plans, God, with your kingdom in mind. And everything that I meticulously packed along the way, I've had to unpack. And God sent me here to tell you tonight, He's been with you through every step of the journey. He was there all the time. And I'm here to try to convince somebody. Don't take a detour at this stage of the journey. Don't give up on the plan. Don't give up on what God has promised you. Because there is a destination that God is taking you to. You might say, go ahead and stand. You might say, well, the mistakes that I've made in my life's journey, they're mistakes that I made. This is a storm that I created. I know you could have taken some detours along the way. I know you could have changed plans. I know maybe you could have avoided the storm. But God's here to tell you that the entire time that you were planning, I knew where you were headed. I knew there was going to be a storm, but I have a purpose in mind. This altar is open tonight. There's somebody here tonight that you say, I have almost given up on the plan of God. God is calling you tonight to come and lay your life before Him one more time and recommit to the things that God has promised you. God is looking for somebody here tonight to tell you, I know it seems small and insignificant in this season of your life, but if you'll keep trusting me, if you keep believing in my word, I'm going to bring your dreams to pass. I'm going to make some things happen in your life that are going to shock you. Don't stop believing today. This is how you survive a storm. You keep getting up and you keep saying God is faithful. Sometimes when you can't see it, God is working. Sometimes when you don't feel like it, God is working. Sometimes when you are rattled by life, you can't see the hand of God. But God is always working. God is always moving. He's always orchestrating the pieces of your life to make something beautiful in His hands. Come on, somebody talk to Him right now. Somebody talk to Him. Somebody pray in the name of Jesus. If you're not in the front praying, church, go ahead and make intercession tonight.
When our backs were against the wall.
When our backs were against the wall.
You move my
press into that prayer right now. Say, God, I believe your word. I believe your promises, God. Every promise is yes and amen. Going to give you everything that you need to survive the storm. Provisions on the way. The answers on the way. The miracles on the way.
You call the walls to fall.
It for good.
We're
this ominous prediction about COVID. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing in this altar right now. I keep hearing people say it's never going to be the same again. That everything's going to be different from here on out. There is a demonic spirit that has been bouncing around in somebody's head. Because you don't feel normal right now. You feel like your situation is permanently broken. And there are voices that are saying it's never going to be normal again. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie from the pit of hell. I know it feels so bitter right now. It said that they longed for, they wished for the day. And there are some people here tonight. You have begged God for daylight. As the wind comes in waves and beats on the side of your house, and your confidence is shaken. You're questioning your identity in God. You're questioning whether or not God loves you. And you feel right now like you will never feel normal again. And the devil is telling you that it will never feel normal again. God wants you to know that there's a brand new vista. There's a new sunrise. I see a morning like the one that dawned this morning. 45, 50 degrees, crisp, cool sunlight. The vibrance of a new season and a new day. I'm telling somebody here tonight that God is going to give you a brand new day. That God, in the middle of all of these storm dynamics, God knew what you would face. And God is telling you tonight, there's a new day coming. I know you've been weeping and I know it's been bitter, but God is telling you tonight that He's going to dry your eyes. I'm talking to a Naomi and Ruth tonight. I'm talking to a woman that God said, I know you feel like your name is bitterness, but God is going to give you a baby. God's going to give you a new birth. God is going to give you a new day. Come on, I need somebody right now to reach up to heaven and say, God, I don't have a lot of faith, but what I have tonight, I'm reaching up and pulling down this promise, God. I believe your word. Come on, somebody praise him right now. Somebody magnify him. Somebody thank him for a promise, for a provision, for a new day. Come on, keep singing, keep going, keep going, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. In the name of Jesus. In the name. Come on, find somebody to pray with right now.
You call one.
to somebody next to you and tell them, I'm not judging you in your storm. I'm not judging you in your storm. I'm not judging you in your storm. Praise God. 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 Go ahead and find somebody next to you. Lay your hands on them and pray. Link up for just a moment. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Pray faith. Pray anointing. Pray strength. Bless you tonight. Love somebody around you. Strengthen them in the name of Jesus. Let's give God one more hand clap of praise. Remember to pray for your church family. God bless you. Go in the name of Jesus.